Hey, everybody, and welcome back to X-Files Diaries, and we are here today for part two of Jen and myself's top 15 MSR moments.
Where are we now? Oh, number seven.
Yep.
All right. This one is probably a slightly more obvious one. It's their very first on-screen kiss from Millennium in season seven.
Oh, that's on my list, but it's higher.
All right. It's very sweet. It's very, I don't know what I made of it at the time because it should stand out in my mind and I don't know why it doesn't because I would have watched it when it originally aired. I think I was just too shocked to take it all in at the time.
Yeah.
But now I look at it, I mean, it's one of those scenes that I can literally watch over and over again in a row.
Yeah.
Like for an indefinite number of times because it's just so freaking sweet. So
it really is. I've actually come to a recent appreciation of this.
Very recent. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I didn't appreciate it as much as I do now. Just in the last couple of months, I've started to appreciate it. And lo and behold, it's landed way up high on our list. So
yeah.
And my favorite part is the look they give each other after the kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Where again, it's kind of like there's a whole conversation going on with their expressions.
Mm-hmm.
And about like, is that okay? Yeah, that was fine. All right, cool. And it's just so sweet. So
it's super cute. I mean, it's funny because it's like, okay, we're 7 years in on these two, and they're acting like teenagers. You know,
seriously,
it's so cute. And he's like, you know what? I love his look. Like he's going in too.
Yeah.
Like he's just like, fuck it. If she slaps me, I'm just gonna blame
New
Year's. You know,
I
love it. And the way that she kind of leans into him too, it's like she's expecting it. You know, like which I love that. Like she doesn't seem surprised. This is no small potatoes moment. This is I'm ready, bring it in. And when he leans away and her eyes are still closed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and it's such a sweet kiss. Like, there's no throwing against the wall. There's none of that. This is like, this is totally, and this is why I've come to appreciate it. This is like, it's experimental. He's like, we have never done this before. There is so much writing on this right now.
Mm.
We need to just dip our toes in, you know, and it's adorable. So adorable.
Yeah. And when he says the world didn't end, which of course has a couple of different meanings because, you know, it's Y2K and all that. But there's also this sense of maybe for the last 7 years, we kind of felt like the world might end if we kissed each other. Like that would be somehow the end of our relationship. And that's why we dare not do it.
And that's why they made us wait 7 years for that fucking joke.
Yeah. It was good.
It was good.
Couldn't have done it any other year.
It was good. It was worth it. But
it was, you know, very apropos to the situation. And so, yeah, it was a sweet thing to say. And it really kind of did feel kind of like, all right, finally, we did it. And look, it's okay. We're both okay. We can actually kiss. It never occurred to us before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love that.
I love it. Like, and it does, too. It adds to the idea that, like, you know, maybe things, you know, down the road, it takes several more episodes, but down the road, and I know that's up for debate too. A lot of people think that they were already screwing at this time, which I'm sorry, no. But they're saying probably that, look, this can change and it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to change.
Exactly.
And I like that. I like that a lot because I think that's the case. And I think that's kind of Chris Carter's whole point with all of this is like, look, it's not going to be the end of the world if this happens. It's just we don't need to be throwing it in your face. You know, it's something, it's a subtle way that they can change their relationship and remain the same. So
exactly.
So I like that. And I think this is a fantastic kiss. And I can't believe I kind of underrated, overlooked it for so long because it's great.
Yeah, I overlooked it for a long time too. It could be partly because the episode is kind of crap and the rest of the episode is not remotely shippy.
No. I don't watch that other episode. I just skipped to that part.
Yeah, it's such a weird episode for the first kiss to happen on. It's not what you'd expect.
But that's exactly why they did it. That's exactly why they did it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's perfectly X-Files to have done it that way.
Yep.
And it's beautifully done. It's just, you know, it's a perfect first kiss. I mean, honestly, could not be more perfect.
Yep, agreed.
Love it.
All
right. What's your seven?
Okay, my seven, another pretty obvious one, the baseball.
Okay, and that one didn't make my list either.
How is this possible?
I know.
I couldn't believe this wouldn't be on anybody's list, because I would imagine it's number one on many people's lists. But
it is.
David is like the biggest shipper on the planet, and God bless him for it, because he knows what we want. Like, and this is again, it's just them being cute. It's like they're not kissing, they're not like having sex, or it's just them kind of building their relationship and being adorable.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, it's the same. It's like I said earlier with the home exchange, when he turns to her and he's like, "Do we?" Like, and he's trying to he's trying to be sexy. Like, he's doing that here too. But he's like he's like right behind her and he's like growling into her ear. Like, and it's and then the hips before hands. He's like, "I just like I like this excuse to be touching you right now." And and then it's funny because it's like at first she's like, "Oh God, what's happening? What are we doing?" And then she's totally into it by the end. And then it's just it's so. So cute. And I love how like they're definitely swinging together like far more times than would be necessary if he was like truly trying to teach her. He just wanted to wrap his arms around her. We can't blame him. But
no,
the fact that they just keep going and going and going and going, you know, like this is not about baseball. And I love it, because that's what I tell people too when I say this is actually The Unnatural is actually one of my favorite episodes. And I always say it's not really about baseball. Like it's such a good episode. And that's the same the same with this this scene. It's not really about baseball.
It's not about baseball. No, that is a great scene. I don't know why it's not on my list. I think the all I can say is I just... There are certain scenes that grab my heart, and that one didn't grab it quite enough, but it's still a great scene.
Fair enough.
I noted one of those little details that I noticed recently when I rewatched it is I think David is actually the director on this one, isn't he?
Yes, he wrote and directed it.
And the writer. And there's a shot included that's a close-up of Mulder putting his hands on Scully's hips.
Yes.
And so, like, if there's any doubt about whether the scene is about baseball, that shot.
Oh, and
the inclusion of that shot surely shows us what is being conveyed.
No. And it's not just the shot. You watch that scene again and you listen. When he puts his hand on her, you hear her, you hear her inhale.
Yes.
You hear it.
You're right. And you're right.
It's like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is happening. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Yes,
everything about that scene is fantastic.
Yeah. Kudos. Yeah. Home run.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay, we're on to number six.
All right.
This one is a pretty popular one, I think, and very similar to another one on my list. But I just love these kind of scenes. And so this is from Irresistible, season number two. And it's the final scene of that, where Scully has just been attacked by Donnie Faster, and Mulder is there to comfort her. And what is so beautiful about that scene, I think, is she's in her usual I'm fine mode. But you know, Mulder's like, yeah, I don't think you're totally fine. And he kind of like touches her chin and kind of raises her face a little bit.
And makes her look at him.
Makes her look at him. And it's only when she makes eye contact with him that she kind of falls apart and starts crying. Because up until that moment, she has kept it together.
Yeah.
Even though she's clearly not okay.
Yeah.
But as soon as she makes eye contact with him, it all comes out. And it's like, she just feels safe with him to be able to do that. And he embraces her. And it actually does wind up looking sort of a lot like that final scene in Milagro. It's a similar kind of scenario. It's a similar kind of embrace. The look on Mulder's face is remarkably similar in both cases. So in a way, it's slightly repetitive for me to include that one, but I just love it.
That's a good one. That was close to being on mine.
That's why it's my number six, because I love that episode and I love that scene, and especially that early on in the series in season two, it was like a really big deal. And I still love to watch that bit. So that's my number six.
That's a good one. A lot of yours are really early, which is funny because like that's
well
before like the ship really took sail.
I know. Those are the ones that I think just have my heart for some reason.
No, and I get it because
they meant so much to me at the time.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. Like, you know, I watched the show differently than you. So it's like I can completely appreciate how in the early days those would have sent your heart a flutter. You know what I mean?
Totally. Totally. We're a good complement to one another. In that way.
Yeah.
All right. What is your number six?
My number six is a very new one. RM9SBG93ZXJZ, the hand holding at the end.
Nice.
In the diner. I gotta tell you guys, this moment murdered me. Okay. It slays me every time. Like, I feel it in my stomach, because it's like, it's not just the fact that, like, it's a great ending to this episode and, like, the meaning of it, blah, 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 put your phones down, let's make some human contact. Like, I get it. Like, they hit that in us in the face. But it's her look, everything about it. Like, her look, she kind of, like, looks at him, she kind of leans over, and his hand is just there. It's like he's waiting for her, you know?
Yeah.
And everything about it is great, and how they kind of just, like, squeeze each other's hands is amazing. But what I love about the scene so much is the fact that here we are, 25 years later, and these damn fools touching hands can still, like, make me want to go to the emergency room. Like, like, who can do that? Like, no one can do that.
Exactly.
No one can do that.
Like, so true.
As many amazing handholds as we have gotten in this series,
yeah,
I had to pick this one because it's so recent, and like you said, like, you have a specific connection when you watch it. When I watch this, and I'm just like, you know, they don't need to kiss here, because when they touch hands, it gets me in the feels, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's a great one.
So yeah, that one, number six.
And kudos to you for reading out the entire title of the episode as well.
Well, I normally just call it Followers, but I like the title. It's kind of cool.
It's cool. I tend to kind of call it RM9, but at one point I tried to memorize the full title just for fun, and I knew it for a while, but I've long forgotten it. But that is a sweet, sweet scene. And yeah, you're so right that, like, the fact that it matters so much. I mean, in many ways, I was annoyed that we weren't allowed to see Mulder and Scully more together in season 10 or 11. But this is why it's good that they weren't fully together, because then these little moments still mean that much.
Well, I think they spent a lot more time together in season 11 than they did in 10, for sure.
Oh, for sure. But they weren't, like, sort of romantically together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They hadn't sort of officially gotten back together.
It, in a way, it felt like the show reset. You know, like, you're watching it again from the jump, except they have this whole history now.
Exactly. So, and it kind of irked me at first that they were doing that. It's like, seriously, we're going to do this again? But then, you know, then we get moments like that, and it's like, okay, I'm good with all of this now.
Yeah, it's allowed them to grow. And I mean, there's no way they could get away with doing a handhold if they were already a couple. Like, they couldn't.
No, exactly.
It wouldn't work. And, like, that's what makes The X-Files so great. So,
it works. And you're right. With the history, that's all. It just adds to it in a fresh way. So, beautiful. Well done. Good choice. Okay, on to number five. Mm. For my number five, I picked a late one. As we said before, I've been doing a lot of early season ones. This one is from, it's as late as you can get without heading off to the revival. So it is from the season finale of season 9, the series finale at the time, The Truth.
Uh-huh.
And it's this scene where Mulder and Scully are reunited and have a super hot kiss.
Oh, yes.
Like, proper hot kiss. And, I mean, the kiss is great.
Finally proper.
Love the kiss, yeah, with Skinner standing right there.
I know. You know, there's always got to be a caveat, right?
There's always got to be a caveat, but that somehow adds to it. I can't even, like, explain it, but it's kind of like, yeah, they don't even care. It's like, get out of the way.
It is true. It does add to it. It's like, we finally don't care anymore. That's what I like about it.
We just don't care. Yeah. Exactly. And after the kiss, even, I mean, I think even more than the kiss, I like the post-kiss, which is when Mulder kisses Scully's hand
God.
Holds it to his chest for the entire rest of the scene.
I literally have that written here. This is my number four. And I wrote, the truth kiss and in italics, including hand kiss.
Especially hand kiss, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That is just so sweet. And the look on Scully's face when he does that, there's like, you can't get a bigger look of love than that.
You can't. And you know what? That, like you said, it's the entire rest of the scene. It's like, I remember when we were first watching this, this was the finale, the original finale. And it was me and this group of girls. It, like, you could have heard the screaming down the block. I remember this. Like, we were all flipping our shit. And I don't even know what they were saying during this whole scene. Like, I know it was, like, important, like, plot related stuff. But we were all just like, we kept saying, It's been 30 seconds. He's still holding her hand. I remember that. I remember thinking that was such a big deal. And, like, 9 years in, and we're like, oh my God, that was really funny.
You know, It's actually only relatively recently that I actually grasped how long he holds her hand for, because I, for some reason, thought he kissed it and let it go, because that's kind of what you would normally do. I didn't realize he actually held it for the entire rest of the scene, because he does.
You know, it's funny. I might take credit for that, because I remember tweeting about that several months ago.
Maybe it was you. Yeah. This is the wonderful thing about Twitter. Yeah. We just learn things from each other. It's so funny.
And it's amazing. And you can't see it either. Like, they try and make it really subtle. Like, you can only
see
the top of his hand, like at the very, 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 very bottom of the frame. And you know they're doing that on purpose, because they hate us. But like, it's there, and you're looking at it, and you're like, it's there. We're like 3 minutes into this scene. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, like when you're looking for it, you can really see it. Yeah. And who knows what the script called for, but that is what they did. And boy, howdy, does it work. The whole thing is super hot. I mean, yeah, they're talking about like the trial and all this stuff. And I'm like, I still couldn't tell you what the dialogue is in that scene.
Yeah,
but
it's hard to concentrate. I like the action.
That's definitely a favorite of mine. I don't think there's much else in that episode to recommend it, maybe, except for the final scene. But
the final scene is fantastic. Especially considering, and it's, that's not on my list, so we can talk about it a little bit. But
yeah,
like,
no, it's not on. It almost made my list. It was like one of my top 25. Yeah, but
it's definitely good. That, I mean, that whole scene was a really, really nice way to just end the series. Like, that was back when he was like, you know, I guess we're really going to end the series, so this is how we would do it. And I remember at the time, everyone was so pissed. But I was, or not so pissed, like, I'm sure the shippers were thrilled, but like, I wasn't. I was kind of like, you know, how are you going to end this show? Like, that's the only way to end it. And I
love
it. Yeah. And so I didn't mind that at all.
And it had like, it was like a callback to the pilot. So it was this wonderful sort of full circle kind of thing where they're talking in a rainy motel. So
yeah,
I loved that aspect of it, actually.
It was really nice.
So
it was,
a pretty, of the many endings we've had of the X-Files, that is one of the better ones. So
yeah,
we could discuss that in a whole episode of the podcast, probably. The many endings of the X-Files.
The many alleged
which one
endings.
Was the best?
There's probably like four.
Yeah.
Maybe five.
Anything from season 7 on, I'd suggest, could have been and maybe was going to be an ending.
Yeah.
Season 7, 8, 9.
Well, I think 8 was the only one that was decidedly not. I mean, they knew they were going to have a season 9.
Yeah, I know.
Because I remember thinking that because everyone was flipping out about the ending of 8 and how great it was.
I know.
And
it
was great.
Because that wasn't even meant to be an ending. But
yeah, it was great. But all I was thinking is how is this happy? He's not even going to be in the show next season. Like, that's all I could think. So I never had a huge attachment to that scene because it was like tainted. So
yeah, we couldn't fully enjoy it.
Yeah, it was
horrible. But we can enjoy it in retrospect now. So we'll discuss that sometime. Because I can think of, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 endings. Yeah.
Yeah, I can too. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so I think people might be surprised when I say which one I would have been surprisingly happy with. So, I'm just going to leave that out there as a tease.
Okay, write that as a topic and we'll get back to
that.
I've
written it down.
Another time. Perfect.
Yeah. What's your number 5?
So my number 5 is one you already said, and it was it's the Millennium Kiss.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? Yeah, you know what's so funny is, like, I know we talked about it. I'm not going to talk about it too much, but it would it would probably have not even made my list if you had asked me like 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm,
but we were talking about so recently, I really started to get it. You know, like I got like how special it was and how what a big deal it was, actually, you know.
So, I know. Yeah, it took me a while to warm up. Did Twitter turn us on to that? I don't know how this happened.
I think both of us
kind of got into it at the same time, but I'm going to credit someone on Twitter.
I think I probably saw that GIF in my timeline so many times that I was like, I was just like, I should give this another go. And I remember watching it again and thinking that I was just like, what is wrong with me that I never appreciated this?
I know, we can credit everyone on Twitter because it is a GIF that we see a lot. And yeah, after a while, it's like, yeah, what's wrong with me? That is really great. So
it is the gift that keeps on giving.
It is the gift that keeps on giving. And it's something that can be pretty nicely summed up in a GIF, actually. So
it really
works
can.
Almost as well in a GIF as it does watching it on the show. So.
It's true. It's true.
Thank you, GIFs. Thank you, people that make GIFs. And thank you, Twitter. So
yay
for that. Are we on to number 4 then?
We are.
Okay, we talked about this one very briefly, but it wasn't on either of our lists yet. My number 4 is from season 7's Requiem, and it's the scene where Mulder basically takes Scully off the case. tells her that he wants her to go home. She's kind of resistant at first. And he says, they're taking abductees and you're an abductee. And it always gives me kind of a little secret thrill every time they actually acknowledge that Scully was an abductee, because it happened so rarely.
And it was so long ago.
And it was so long ago. Yeah. So it was kind of like, oh, yes. Because, I mean, I really loved that whole story as well about the whole abduction arc. So that gave me a thrill. And, of course, we have Mulder saying, I don't want to risk. And then that pause, losing you, which is so beautiful.
Well, it was like,
and, go ahead. Lovely all the way around. Just lovely all the way around.
I think that's a great one. And I think that he was probably going to say something else and then kind of stop. And I was trying to think, he was going to say, like, I'm not going to risk, like, you getting abducted or you getting taken.
Yeah.
But that's so, it was almost like he was making a making an effort to say something more meaningful.
I think you're right. I think it kind of started off with something that he's probably said a version of many times, which is, I don't want to risk your safety, or I don't want to risk you, something happening to you, which in itself still would have been kind of sweet. But at, like, you can kind of see the way that David played it, that there's this like moment when he decides, no, I'm going all in here and I'm going to say what I'm really thinking.
And that happens so rarely. That you're right. It's really interesting and super subtle it's like he changes directions and he's like, you know I don't need to be beating around the bush anymore. And that's really great. And that's right. That's so sad. Everything about that episode, I think of like, that's so great. Just so sad because you know it's coming.
I know. You know that I love the sadness. So
I know you do.
You go
for all that angst.
I do. And I quoted Mulder many times when he says in that scene, there has to be an end and that time is now. And I said that many a time during season 11 when people were kind of like, oh, can't we have another season? And I'm like, no, we can't go on forever. There has to be an end. That time is now.
There has to be an end. Yeah. That's a really great one, and I like that that's subtle, and I like that we both had different scenes from that episode. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. I just love Requiem, so it's an awesome, and there's a super hug after that, and then it segues into Mulder and Skinner being together, which is awesome too. So
yeah, everything about that episode is great.
Love.
That's great. I love that one.
Yeah, that's my number four. What's your number four?
Well, my number four is the truth kiss that we were just
talking about.
You keep getting me by one. It's all good. It's all good.
All right, let's see what happens next. On to number three for me then.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hospital scene, which is not surprising for those that know me on Twitter. That
I remember
I
you like hospital scenes.
A hospital scene, because they're always so full of angst.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a classic from Memento Mori from season four. And it's the conversation and hug between Mulder and Scully at the end of the episode in the hospital hallway.
Yeah.
Did this one make your list?
It did not.
All right.
I am in love with our lists. I'm pretty sure none of my last three are going to be on your list either. So I'm excited.
This is terrific.
This is really great.
Put our two lists together and it's going to be like
pretty fantastic.
An absolutely awesome, like no miss list of all of the shipper moments that everyone has to run off and watch immediately.
Yep.
So I'll talk a little bit about that scene, which is really one of my very favorite scenes in all of the X-Files. I mean, this could easily have been my number one, but didn't quite make it. But I love everything about it. I love the dialogue is beautiful. My favorite part is it's actually in my Twitter bio for anyone that's ever looked at it. When Mulder says to Scully, The truth will save you, Scully. I think it'll save both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, to me, kind of encapsulates a lot of what Mulder and Scully are about, which is the search for the truth and how much they mean to each other at the same time.
Yeah, that's such a double meaning.
It really is. I kind of, and especially the way David delivers it, it's kind of like in Scully being saved, he will be saved.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful because I always love whenever they talk about the truth, like capital T, because it's always so big and so important and so beautiful. And, it's just super meaningful when he says that, I think. It's just in the context of the X-Files where the truth is everything, That's a really important line, I think. So I love that. And on a slightly more shallow level, I always really enjoy hugs where Scully has no shoes on because it makes her just a tiny bit shorter.
I love it
and
when
she just fits perfectly under Mulder's chin.
She's so teeny. It's like the height. I mean, they don't need the Jilly ramp for those scenes because then she'll be too tall. You got to be right there in the nook, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And if you're going to do like a long scene, a long shot on that hallway, you're going to get the sense of what the height difference is right away. So you might as well keep it.
Yeah.
And I love, there's a few, you know, we've seen a few hugs like that over the years, but that's one of my favorites where she's just like, just fits right in there.
You know,
and it's just so beautiful and she's crying and it's like, oh, if someone's crying, then you know that I'm going to love it.
It's funny, like, other than the line that you were just talking about, and also there's a part where he says, I think he says, like, come on back, like, really kind of quietly.
Which took me a long time to figure out what he was saying there.
Yeah, it's very sweet. I know I'm going to probably be raked over the shipper coals for this, but, like, I'm not, like, a huge fan of the dialogue in this scene. Because I know people are going to come after me with torches, but, like, to me, every time I listen to it, it just feels a little hard to kind of comprehend completely exactly what she's trying to say. And maybe that's on purpose. Like, maybe that's intentional. Like, she doesn't really even know what she's trying to say. Like, she's just trying to communicate to him that she's not giving up. Essentially, that's the heart of it. And that's, you know, the heart of the show. Yeah.
I don't disagree with you on that because I think it's written by Chris Carter, right? So sometimes dialogue is not his forte.
I think Memento Mori is a group. I think it's him and Frank, and I think it's not that I don't like the dialogue, I don't know. It's just it's strange. It's hard for me to put my finger on it. If anyone understands what I'm saying or agrees with me, please let me know because I feel like I'm in my own little corner here. And I don't not like the scene. I love this episode and I love the hug is fantastic. And I love what it means and I love the symbolism of it. I just am not a fan of like the words that it takes to get them to the truth will save us both or whatever he says. That which is great.
I can see what you're saying. That's not my favorite part of the scene, the part leading up to the end bit.
That's all I'm talking about. It's just like their conversation and it kind of...
The individual lines make sense, but they somehow... I almost wonder, is it the way it's edited or something that it kind of feels like something's being left out or something?
Yeah,
it doesn't quite make sense.
It doesn't flow.
It doesn't flow.
And I wish it did. And again, this is just me being extremely nitpicky, having seen that episode millions of times. Just something I notice whenever I watch it.
I know. I mean, there's parts of it that I can't quite figure out what either of them is getting at.
I think maybe that's intentional. That's what I'm saying. Is like they're trying to say things that they want to say but can't. And I mean, that's what they do all the time. So I get that, but...
They do. We can always go with that as an explanation.
Yeah.
And I think one time I was somewhat illuminated when I found one of the deleted scenes from that episode, which I only saw quite recently, where I can't remember all the details now, but there's much more about Scully's family. And is Bill even in it, I think, in the deleted scene?
Yeah.
Am I remembering that right?
And he's a total asshole, in case anyone was in doubt.
And so that tends to lead, because there's a part of this final scene where she mentions about proving things to her family, which doesn't make much sense if you haven't seen the deleted scene.
Right.
But once you've seen the deleted scene, that at least makes a little bit more sense.
But I like the fact that she... I kind of like in retrospect that they took that out, because I don't like to think that Scully thinks she needs to prove a damn thing to that asshole. You know what I mean?
Why they took it out.
Yeah. And I mean, I like the idea that she's like, well, you know, he's my brother and I have to deal with him. But like at the same time, I would not want to be thinking about that while I'm watching that scene at the end, you know? So I think they made the right call. I think that would have been a good scene to put into like Redux or something. That might have been a good scene to put in there, because it's not like, but he was already bad enough, so I guess we didn't need another scene.
He kind of redoes that whole sort of scene, essentially.
Yeah.
In Redux anyway, so.
Yeah, but he kind of does it to, well, he does it in Gethsemane, I think, and then he does it again to Mulder in Redux, so it's rough. We didn't need
We get plenty of Jerk Bill in the days to come. So
we get it.
Yeah. Don't expose us to him any more than necessary. You're right. We don't need Bill around ruining Memento Mori for us.
I think somebody should write a fanfic pairing Bill with Diana Fowley.
Oh, yeah. Like in a romantic way, are we thinking? Or?
I don't know. I just thought of the two most hated characters I can think of. And like, let's pair them together and let them ride off the horrible sunset.
Could there be like some kind of a double murder involved or something, maybe?
Let's think about that. That would be
something really terrible should happen to both of them, but I can't articulate exactly what, but I'll leave that to the talented fanfic writers to decide.
Let's put that out there for somebody.
Yeah, please.
Anyway, all right.
It would make us happy. So that was my number three, and what is your number three?
Okay, my number three. Oh my god. Now that we're getting down to brass tacks here,
I'm
getting all like squee. Season 11. Episode 3+1.
Yeah, huh?
There's so many great scenes in this episode, but the one I've chosen is the very, very, very end.
Yes.
And again, we can thank David for this, because this was his idea to do this. You know, he did some behind the scenes saying that, like, this was his decision, that he wanted her to be the pursuer, you know? And I love everything about this scene was great, because we know what happened the night before. We don't really know where they stand. We don't know what's going on with their relationship. It's just, we know that they had a nice little step forward. But I love their looks in this, because he comes in and he's like, hey, so looks like we have a couple hours to kill. And she's like, oh, I couldn't imagine what you mean. I love how they're just totally, they're clearly flirting with each other, but she's totally shutting him down. And he's like, all right, I'll be next door if you need me. Because I think he knows, like, he gets it. Like, he's seen that look, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
And so, he obviously knew more than I did, because I wasn't expecting it.
I know. I remember watching it. I was watching it with one of my girlfriends and my husband, and my girlfriend and I were both like, what, Scully? What are you thinking? Like, he's just walking around with, like, a couple buttons undone, you know?
Yes, and then super hot.
The good thing is that, like I said, he looks kind of like maybe he's a little disappointed, but you know that he knows, because he's there when she opens
the door.
Well, he clearly
does.
Yes, and I love that. I just love it, because it's not only adorable and cute, and you know, everything about this episode was great, because it was just so much more than we'd ever gotten in that regard ever. But like, it really symbolizes kind of where they were at this point. Like, he was all in. He was ready. He's just waiting for her. And this scene with him at the door, just waiting until she opens it, was just such a great little, like, you know, the symbol. And then when it cuts to black and you hear the sword coming out of the sheath, we were cracking up. I was like, did they really do that? Did Chris Carter really allow that? Like, was such a great, that was a great night. That was a great
night. Yes. I didn't notice the sword, I remember, for the first couple of viewings. And then when I finally noticed it, I'm like, oh my God, just adds a whole other thing now.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I watched that several times before I went to bed that night. But and then I also had to add that when Scully walks over to the door, how she's like biting her lip, because of course she does. Because who wouldn't be, right?
She's all sexed up. It's not something we see very often from actual real Scully. And
it's,
you know,
been a while.
Fantasy Scully, but not the real one. So
actually, it hadn't been a while. It had been about 4 hours. But you know, it had been a while before then. So
prior to this episode, at least,
he'd awakened the beast.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember when I was watching it, it was like, when she's obviously turning and walking to the door, and I'm already screaming. But then when she opens up the door and he's there, could it get any better? I don't know, because then I'm somehow screaming even louder. So I love that.
I have to say, from like from a shipper perspective, I'm not going to count like the great cliffhangers and the plot stuff or whatever, but from like a shipper perspective, I think it's the greatest ending they've ever done. Ever.
I can't disagree with you.
Even better than the dancing, the postmodern Prometheus dancing.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's amazing and it's perfect, and I love it. It makes me all happy whenever I think about it. So
yeah, it's I love it because it's real. Because it, like you say, it says so much about what their relationship was in season 11, especially at that point. And so it's meaningful. Not only is it fun and sweet, it means a lot. It's very sort of symbolic of their relationship. It has it's grounded in the reality of that season. So this, it makes it a prime ending.
This episode too means a lot to me because it kind of shifted my thinking about their relationship. Like, in a way, I always was kind of like, what's their problem? Why don't they just get together? Like, why are we dealing with all this bullshit? You know what I mean? And then when I watch this episode, especially like the conversation they have in the bed and all the other stuff, and I start to think, you know, this is a lot more complex than I'm thinking, and it's a lot more complex than I think people want it to be, you know? Yeah. And so, but it's great for that. You know, because it's feels more real. So I like, you know, that's, you know, again, this goes to the heart of why we could go into conversation about like why the breakup was necessary and all of that stuff. But but anyway,
I'm gonna write that down as a possible subject. Yeah. As well. The breakup and the whole the complications of their relationship in seasons 10 and especially 11. I don't think it was particularly well realized in 10, but definitely better portrayed in 11. What I love about it is
they didn't deal with it at all in 10. That's why I was so mad. They didn't deal with it at all. Like, it was just like a thing that had happened. And now, okay, we're just kind of languishing in this horror show where they're not even in any scenes together. Like, it was awful. Yeah,
I think languishing in this horror show is an excellent way to describe season 10, actually.
It really is.
Especially from a shipper perspective.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And the great thing about, for me, I mean, there's many great things about Mulder and Scully's relationship, but one of the things that I personally, very personally love about it is that Mulder and Scully's relationship is almost exactly the same length as mine and my husband's. That my husband and I got married a year before the X-Files began. So we've been married 26 years.
Wow.
And Mulder and Scully have been kind of together 25 years. And so their relationship has spanned our marriage. And so I kind of feel like I get where they're at because, you know, they have been in their relationship as long as I've been in mine. So that and like, you know, we're all kind of the same age. So that made season 11 special for me because, I mean, they didn't shy away from how old they were. And I think they did a really lovely job of kind of expressing the complications
of like getting older
and of long-term relationships, really long-term relationships that, you know, there's still these very sweet moments, but that it's not simple. There's a lot of stuff underneath. So, and I think they portrayed that really well. So
I agree with you completely. It's one of the reasons I love season 11, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of the main reasons. One of the main reasons.
All right. Kudos to season 11 on that one as well.
Yeah.
All right. Have you
Your number two now.
My number two.
Yep.
It's another hospital scene.
Oh my gosh. Is your one hospital scene too? Is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
My number one's not in the hospital. I'll give that as a little hint.
All right.
It's surprising. I know. My number two is from Redux 2.
I think I know.
There's a lot that from that, but you can probably guess. It's the scene where Scully is trying to convince Mulder to throw the blame for the murder on her.
I was going
to
pick something else for you, but that's a great one too.
I love the line, "If I can save you, let me."
Oh my God.
It just gets me every time.
Murder me in the heart.
Seriously, right? And she means it.
No, she totally does.
And he's like, I don't think so. But it's, I mean, he's so sweet about it. And she's so brave. And I remember actually watching the Emmys the year when Julian won, which was for this season. Well, actually, technically, I think it was for the fourth season.
But yeah.
But, you know, this was an extension of it.
Yeah.
So it must have been the year following because I remember seeing this scene on being played on the Emmys. As like the clip for Gillian Anderson. So she must have submitted this as one of her episodes.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And so I'll never forget watching, you know, you're watching the Emmys in the context of all these sort of typical TV shows. And then all of a sudden there's this scene from Redux 2. But even if you knew nothing about The X-Files and hated genre TV or whatever, I really genuinely believe if you saw Scully saying that line, you'd be like, what is happening? And I have to watch this show because it is so beautiful. So I love everything about it.
This is the kind of thing that I think of, like scenes like this, when I hear people bitching about how like we didn't get enough kisses and sex. And you think about something like that. And you go, no, like that is the stuff, like right there. That's the stuff that makes them awesome is that line and that scene.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, totally, totally.
I mean, they're being so like beautiful and it's very romantic, but I still love the fact that at some point Scully actually uses the phrase the shooter. I can still be even with the ballistics, I can still be the shooter. And it's still in the context of this sort of sweet scene. I love it because it's like, you know, she's still an FBI agent. She's there, you know, supposedly dying in the hospital. She's having this very heartfelt conversation with her partner and she's still talking about ballistics and shooters. So
yeah. And you know, it's funny. It never occurred to me, but this is occurring to me right now only because we were just talking about that Memento Mori scene when she says that she has to keep going because she needs to prove things to her family. It's like when she's in a moment where she thinks she's about to die, she no longer gives a shit about that. All she wants to do is save him. Which,
that's right. That's
all
she cares about.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's one of those things like right at the end. Yeah. What do you really care about? Like that's I didn't really think about it that way. But
that's a really good point, actually, because that's what she says. Let me give some meaning to all of this.
Yeah.
And that's the only meaning she can think to give it is to save Mulder. So
yeah.
How freaking sweet is that?
I thought you were going to say when he goes and he cries at her bed, which is also really good.
I like that too, but I just can't get past the fact that he looks like he's biting her arm. So I just can't get past it. I'm sorry. It's still really sweet though.
Yeah. I think everybody would probably agree, but I'll give him a pass because when you're engulfed in grief, you don't really know what you look like.
No, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So
that's right.
I can't like police his grief. So.
No, of course you can't. No, it's just like he's so overwhelmed that he doesn't care that he looks like he's biting her arm.
Exactly.
And that's all, it just adds to the beauty of the scene.
That, I mean, I can't even think about that without getting like upset. So let's move on, shall we?
Let's move on. Okay. What's your number two?
So I think my number two is going to surprise you because.
All right. Bring it on.
It is from a random shitty season 9 episode.
Oh God, that is going to be random then.
And let me tell you, if I didn't have a number one that will never ever change for any reason ever, this might be my number one.
Crap! All right, what is it?
And you'll be surprised because this is in my mind, this is a love letter from the writers to Mulder and Scully, and this is the cold open of Trust No One.
Okay.
With the surveillance footage and her talking to William, or at least saying something to William, or it's a monologue, and I'm going to read the whole thing because I think we need to hear it.
Okay.
One day you'll ask me to speak of a truth of the miracle of your birth, to explain what is unexplained, and if I falter or fail on this day, know there is an answer, my child, a sacred and imperishable truth, but one you may never hope to find alone. Chance meeting your perfect other, your perfect opposite, your protector and endangerer. Chance embarking with this other on the greatest of journeys, a search for truth's fugitive and imponderable. If one day this chance may befall you, my son, do not fail to or falter to seize it. The truths are out there, and if one day you should behold a miracle as I have in you, I'm going to start crying reading it. You will learn the truth is not found in science or on some unseen plane, but by looking into your own heart, and in that moment you will be blessed and stricken, for the truest truths are what hold us together or what keep us painfully desperately apart. Okay.
It's very sweet.
So this is like, this is the T right here. And this is Chris Carter, okay?
Yeah.
And Frank Spotnitz, to be fair. He's always on board to add with the MSR. But
yeah,
it's almost like a fan video.
You know what? When I actually said that, because I watched that episode a couple months ago, and I think I actually said, this looks like a fan video.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, like a really sort of professionally put together one. But frankly, some of the fan videos look pretty damn professional, too.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
the imagery is beautiful. It's like this black and white imagery, but it's, you know, clips from the show.
I love that this is just like, it's her speaking to her son about his parents. Mm. And it's like, it describes everything you need to know about the two of them in 2 minutes or one it minute, does. However long this takes.
Yeah, I love no,
like the,
right.
the pictures they picked were so great, like yeah. for each moment. Yeah. And it just, I think it gets forgotten because it's stuck yeah. in the beginning of this really shitty episode, but
yeah. and it's in, I mean, honestly, it's because it's in season 9,
right,
I think.
Right. And people forget it, but like this is the reason that I love these two, the, right here, like everything is in it is in this paragraph.
Fair enough.
And the fact that it's like this late in that late in the show, you know, we know we're cruising in on the end here, but it's 10:13 acknowledging to everyone that we were right yeah. the whole time. So that's my number two.
I don't know why that does. Now the pitchforks are going to come for me on this one, because for some reason that does do a lot for me. I mean, I get what you're saying on an intellectual level. And honestly, the way you read it somehow was more moving than it actually is on the show, I think.
because I think it's not about it being on the show. I think it's really about what they're telling us.
Yeah,
that makes it that makes it so great.
I'm gonna have to watch it again. I think that honestly, it's strictly me being a nitpicker, because I just have an issue with some of Chris Carter's word selection sometimes in these monologues, like when he uses words like imperishable yeah. and imponderable. Yeah. It's like, dude, no one speaks like that.
Yeah,
and it just bugs me. On just that's just always been a pet peeve of mine with Chris Carter monologues. So I think I'm so distracted by like, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard when he gets into those kinds of ridiculously unnecessary words.
It's the verbal equivalent of Mulder biting her hand. Is that what you're saying to me?
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's just like, it's not necessary. Like a good monologue is just, you know, it's beautiful words, but they're regular words that people would actually use. It's I don't necessarily agree.
I think that all of the monologues are like this.
Even
the good ones.
Yeah.
So
I'm just not sure there are any good ones. I think that's my problem.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the voiceover in general, like whenever they use it, but they've used it on occasion in really good episodes. So yeah. I kind of forgive it because it's in the middle of a really good episode or at the beginning.
Memento Mori, I think, would be a good example of that.
Or it was all the whole Redux arc too. She's doing a lot of voiceover.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not a huge fan of it in general. I just love this because it's all about the two of them.
Yeah, it is beautiful. I feel like I am missing out, that there's something that I need to put my pet peeves on the back burner, calm down, take a chill pill, and then maybe I'd enjoy it more.
You know, I'm also, this is something too that's, it's come to the forefront of my mind recently because of a lot of debates that we've been getting into lately on Twitter about how like the physical aspect of their relationship is just is so ignored and I don't want to say so ignored, but like so pushed to the back burner. And for me, I'm like, that's fine, because as much as we love to see it and I love to see it, I don't think that's what they're about, like primarily. Yeah. And so when I see something like this and I read something like this, it makes me get what they're trying to say. You know?
Okay. Yeah, no, I get it too. I think also partly I was so thrown by how it was all being laid out for us. Like you say, they were telling us that we were right all along. I think when I watched it, I literally couldn't believe my ears.
Yeah.
And to this day, maybe I don't know if I can, and I should probably get past that.
Yeah, you should. Because, like I said, it's the tea.
It really is the tea, and maybe I just need to never watch it in conjunction with the rest of the episode, because I kind of hate that episode.
Yeah, no, I do too. I hate the whole rest of it. It sucks.
Yeah, no, those emails really bug me, I have to say. But
well, we don't need to talk about
that. Get into that another time, but I'm going to work on liking that better, because you're starting to bring me around a bit.
Well, good. I'm glad.
I mean, that's what it's all about with us files talking to each other. People have brought me around on things that I never thought I'd be brought around on. I thought I would hate season 8 until the day I died.
Mm-hmm.
And now I actually quite like it. So
that's interesting. Well, and again, let me just put this out. This isn't one of those this isn't one of the moments that I'm going to like watch on repeat over and over and over. It's not like a kiss or a mm-hmm. handhold or something like that that's going to like give me enough. The warm fuzzies. But in terms of its yeah. position and importance in the show and what yeah. it means to me, that's where it would rank on yeah. my list. So
I cannot argue with you. I mean, it definitely, it spells it out. Like you say, it's we get the tea better than we ever do before or since.
Yeah.
So it's
other than,
like,
you know, maybe the church scene, but even not as much yeah. as that. Like it's there's no. so and she's not saying it to Mulder. She's saying it yeah. to William. So it's yeah. not. But it's like she's letting something out that like she can't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that yeah. she has been unable to and she can say it to him.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
She never really does say it like that to Mulder. Not that explicitly. Certainly not.
No.
All at once.
At least not that we hear.
And maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe there's a reason why we get it all in a monologue that's addressed to someone other than Mulder, because that rarely happens on the
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's speaking to William maybe is why it's all spelled out, because she never spells it out to Mulder when she's speaking to him.
Right.
For the most part.
It kind of makes me think of like when I'm alone and I'm kind of talking to myself, but I'm like really yeah. I say that I'm like talking to my cat.
Yeah.
But I'll be like, oh, I can tell you because you're here. I can yeah. tell you.
That's right. It makes you feel less like you're talking to yourself.
Right. But, you know,
you're talking to someone.
You got to bounce your thoughts off somebody. And, you yeah. know, she's not going to say it to anyone else. She's going to say yeah. it to William. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. That makes me like it better, too, actually. Okay. I'm halfway there now with that right. one, which all is right. farther than I was before.
Good.
We're on to number one.
We are. We're down to number one, our all-time favorite Shipper
now
moments.
I think mine is probably going to be a favorite that a lot of people have. Do you think yours is going to be a favorite that a lot of people have?
Mine is going to be one that no one has.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so we're probably going to have different ones then again.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Mine is from Fight the Future. And it's the scene in Mulder's hallway with the almost kiss interrupted by a bee. But let's not worry about the bee. The bee is not a concern to me because it's everything leading up to the bee that's important.
Yep.
It's everything that Mulder says, you know, about making him a whole person and I owe you everything, Scully, and you owe me nothing. It's like, I'm swooning here. And so is she. I mean, she leaves that apartment pretty ticked off. And I love that moment where he's in the apartment and he's kind of undecided for just a second about, should I go after her? Should I not? And he does.
Yeah.
And I mean, he looks really hot in that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is hot about that scene. the almost kiss is actually really hot.
Yeah. I mean, well, and they just barely do touch. Just barely.
You can tell they're both into it. There's no question about that. Mm-mm. I mean, the fact that it's not a completed kiss doesn't bother me as much as it once did, or that it still bothers many.
I think it bothers. I don't think it bothers a lot of people anymore. I think people just kind of joke about it, but I think people were really mad at the time.
Well, it did feel kind of like a little cruel, actually.
It was like the promo of Nothing Lasts Forever. It was the same thing.
At least they didn't put that in the promo. I don't think.
That would have been a great thing to put in the promo, but they didn't.
If they were doing it today, they would put it in the promo because they show so much more now than they did back in 2008. So
1998. But the future was 98. And they're also more cruel now. So
that's true.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's no actual kiss is not even that important to me now. I mean, at the time, yeah, it's a shock to kind of say, especially in the music, honestly, I'm going to put a little blame at the feet of Mark Snow right now because the music makes it sound like it's really leading up to something as they move towards each other.
Oh,
it's
just
like this sort of like suspense music.
Oh my God.
And then, here comes the bee.
And every single time, that gets me every single time. It's like when I'm like watching Titanic or something and I'm like, maybe they'll just go around it this time. Like every single time I'm like,
It's very convincing. I mean, as far as, you know, obviously the actors knew that the bee sting bit was coming, but they certainly don't act like people who are about to be interrupted. It looks very convincing that they are about to kiss. And it's, like I say, it's still pretty damn hot.
Very hot. And that's a really good one. And I knew that was going to be on your list. That's why I didn't pick it, by the way. I remember you talking about it before.
It will always and forever be my number one because Mulder says so many things that he hasn't said before. And then, you know, Scully's crying. So there's the angst because, you know, they're about to be separated potentially. And the near kiss. And honestly, all the post-B stuff is really kind of interesting to me as well. Not, well, yeah, no, still in a shipper way, because I love the fact that Scully is sort of diagnosing herself as she's sort of in the process of passing out.
Yeah, and I like that he says, really quietly, but he says sorry, because he thinks that maybe he overstepped or something. Like,
yes.
It's just, it's so sweet. Like,
yes, because he doesn't know yet what's happened. Right. He just knows that she's put a stop to it.
Right, right.
Which she hasn't, she actually hasn't put a stop to it. The bee did that.
Right,
but right. Yeah, at that point, it looks like she's just kind of like, nope, no. But yeah, he's like so quick to apologize because he's always like, I guess, assuming that he might have to anyway.
Yeah,
so,
he always thinks she's going to slap him or something.
Yeah, he's just like, he's so sort of self-conscious about it all. But
it's very
sweet.
Yeah,
that's right. And he's like, and I love, it's, I kind of love the way the tone of the scene just turns in a second from this kind of sweet romantic tone to everything is like suddenly concern and danger.
Chaotic. And,
yeah, and Mulder is like instantly like concerned for her, and I love that too, because concerned Mulder and endangered Scully is one of my favorite combinations. So I was happy with the whole rest of the scene too. So everything in that whole, I mean, really everything from the time that Scully arrives at Mulder's apartment is really pretty awesome. But to narrow it down, I'd say everything that happens in the hallway. So that, I don't think anything will ever top that for me, because man, I still remember how I felt the first time I saw it, and
yeah,
I
fantastic.
Still feel it every time ever since. So,
well, and then you think of that outtake that they did.
Oh, man, the outtake is hilarious.
What could have been.
Yeah, but I'm very happy. I'm really happy with what we got, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, as usual, I'm like, I enjoy the outtakes for the outtakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're fun.
It's better the way it was. They have to continue the tension. They have to. Like,
yeah.
We don't, there's no choice. They have to keep
it's,
doing
yeah,
it. And every time they kind of up the ante, and I love that about this show so much, is like, then, you know, the entire next season, they're just flirty as hell, because they know now, like they're aware, you know, it's adorable and it's so cute.
That moment informs season 6 quite a lot, although, you know, Diana Fowley throws things off slightly, but it is a moment that means something, even though in at the time, I think I kind of felt like, well, it doesn't count because of the bee. But now looking back on it and seeing how the rest of the following seasons played out, I see that it actually was a turning point in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it did mean something. So makes me love it all the more. So always going to be my number one. Now I can't wait to hear what your number one is.
My number one. Well, it's completely random, and this has always been my favorite, and it's such a quick, dumb thing. But every time I see it and think about it, it just makes me smile.
Okay.
Season 6, episode The Rain King.
Okay.
The part where they're in the auditorium and they're watching Sheila and Holman dance. And they, it cuts back to them and they're swaying back and forth to the music. They're right next to each other. This is the best, okay?
Yep.
There's not much more to say other than it's adorable. Like, they're not even touching, but they're swaying together, completely in sync, and they have no fucking idea. Like, it's such a metaphor for their relationship, especially in the context of this episode when they're talking about, it's all about the things that we know but we don't say. You know, like, and so every time I see this, it just makes me go, oh, this is perfect. Like, I don't even know if this was on purpose. Again, it's another thing. I would love to know if it was in the script or if it was just something that they did. But it was such a great little moment. It's always going to be favorite. Oh, I would just think of their little heads bobbing back and forth, and it just makes me laugh.
I know. I've recently come to love the Rain King, actually. I think I underestimated it earlier.
Well, it's kind of a silly episode, but it's actually very good. It's a good episode.
It's very good. Yeah, it is. I think I did kind of write it off as a bit silly, but it's actually really beautiful and really beautifully written and actually really funny. And there's a lot going on. And you're so right that the idea of being not looking at one another, but yet somehow being perfectly in sync and them having no idea that that's what's actually happening is like a perfect, it's perfectly emblematic of their relationship, especially at that point.
Perfectly. Yep. Yep.
And it's a very beautiful scene, actually. It's really beautifully shot. The colors are beautiful, and
like the music's beautiful. Like it's a perfect song to him. I don't know if anybody's listened to the lyrics, and we'll talk about this another time in the music section. But it's like a perfect song for everything that's going on in this episode, and it's really good.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great choice. So yeah, that is a surprising number one, but it makes total sense.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And people probably know this about me if they pay any attention at all, because I talk about it quite a bit. Well, at least I used to. But
it's a great moment, and that's a true moment too.
Yeah.
That it's is just a tiny moment, but it says so much.
Yep.
And that's what Mulder and Scully are all about, right? It's moments that mean so much.
Completely. Completely.
So much of what we got from them were just tiny little moments, but they're always so beautifully done, and in the context of everything else that's going on, they always mean so much to those of us that are paying attention. So that's actually a really appropriate note for us to end our list on, I think, because that's really what their relationship has always been like. We don't get a lot of the tea being spilled for us.
Mm-hmm.
It is more often than not just those little moments, but I still love those little moments. You know, That's what makes it. They're so beautiful that I don't need a whole lot more than that. Although I'm happy to get it in a hospital, preferably.
Right,
so,
right. You get it when you get it when it's necessary, and then this, like, they didn't need to do something like this, but they did it, and it's something that sticks out. So
it really does, and that's a great little episode, actually. Ranking. It's a great episode to watch if you're just feeling a little down, or like you're not in the mood for something really heavy.
Yeah.
It just, the ranking is my go-to when I feel that way. And I just need
too.
Something.
You just need something kind of light. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes me feel good. So it's not, there's nothing too complicated going on. It's just sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah, kudos on your number one.
Thank you. So do you have an honorable mention to talk about?
Oh yeah, I do have an honorable mention.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, this one is going to be an odd one, I think. Mm-hmm. But probably not that odd for me. Mine is from, this was season four, the penultimate episode of season four, I believe, Demons. Mm. And the scene that I chose is Scully arriving at the motel where Mulder is, and where he has woken up and has no idea what's happened or where he is and what's going on. And he calls her and at like 5 o'clock in the morning, obviously he thinks of her immediately, and she's like, boom, she's there. And she walks in, he's in shock. He doesn't know what's happening. Blood everywhere. He has shot off 2 rounds from his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously something really bad has happened. But Scully is 100% there. She's concerned about him. She's kind of like it when she's being Dr. Scully, which she is sort of for a bit in the scene.
Yeah.
But she's obviously concerned about him beyond that of a doctor. And she's like 100% supportive of him and wants to solve this with him. And the fact that he appears perhaps to have killed someone doesn't faze her for a second. She is only concerned about him and concerned about his health and safety.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out. We're going to figure this out together.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, the idea that he calls her, she's the only one that he could trust, you know, as we know.
And she's there in a second and doesn't think anything of it. And, you know, Mulder's naked, which is never a bad sign.
Never a bad sign. Yeah, and that didn't matter to him either. No,
they're past that point.
Yeah.
It's like he's not concerned about it. She's not concerned. She puts a big blankie around him and
gets him all snuggly.
He's very snuggly and cute.
That is a good one. I forget about that episode because I'm not a big fan of that episode.
Fair enough.
I like the idea of it. There's something about the execution of that episode that I'm not a huge fan of. Like, there's a lot of Mulder ditching her, and whenever he's like, and you know, this is why Scully can't put up with his shit for 20 years too. But like, whenever he's gone off on some jag and he's off doing something, and he gets really pulled into that, he turns into like a different Mulder, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, and so episodes where that happens, I'm not a big fan of. They're not ones that I typically like to revisit. I mean, if I'm doing a rewatch, I'll revisit. But That's one in particular. I remember that one kind of irking me for that reason. But that moment is very sweet from Scully's perspective. I agree. Yeah. And the idea that she would, that he would call her because he doesn't have anyone else to call.
I think I loved that whole sort of first couple of scenes so much that I was willing to forgive a lot for the whole rest of the episode. So,
and I mean, the ending is good too. I mean, the fact that you think he might have shot her, but of course he doesn't shoot her. And then she's just like holding him. And like, it's just really, it is sweet. But again, it's all like him being a dick and her being sweet to him. Like, you know, I don't really like episodes like that.
Yeah. So. And like, we won't even get into the fact that she has cancer at that point.
Exactly.
Too,
so. Exactly. It's just, I don't know. I feel like
it's
maybe if that episode took place at a different point in the season, I might forgive it a little bit more. But you're right. Like, when you take it in the context of all this other stuff that's going on, like, I just don't like when Mulder is like a selfish prick. Like, I don't like that, because especially with her, like, he shouldn't be. She's very, I mean, if ever, rarely like that with him. So it just, and he does it quite a bit, especially in the early seasons.
He does it a lot. But, you know, she's very forgiving.
Yeah. That's what
it bothers us more than it bothers her, I think.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it bothers her, but I think she's also like, look, I'm in this and I know I'm in this. Like, there's no way I would be anywhere else. So, you know, and part of that is why I think they had to kind of undo some of that with the breakup. I'm going to give you my honorable mention. My honorable mention, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, maybe last episode, but is the last scene of Dead Alive when he wakes up and she sees him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jillian at peak angst performance with like the one perfect tear coming down her cheek. And it's just a beautiful scene. And it's what drew me in. It's what drew me into the MSR. So it has to be my honorable mention. So.
Perfect.
And we already talked about it.
Love that scene. Love. It's that is the scene that gave me the most pain to leave off my list, actually. It didn't quite make the honorable mention.
Look, I had a hospital scene on my list. Yeah, I have actually a hospital scene on my list. Look at that.
Look at that.
It's the honorable mention.
And it wasn't on mine. That's the weird part.
Yeah. How many hospital scenes did you have? Because I know you like them.
I think I wound up with two, but they were two of my top three.
Okay.
I think but you know, I could have included a probably 10 if I had made any kind of effort whatsoever. I could easily name right off the top of my head 10 awesome hospital scenes from X-Files.
There are a lot.
But that one from Dead Alive is definitely one of the best.
Yeah.
I love it when Scully says, "Do you have any idea what you've been through?" And Mulder says something like, "No, but I can tell."
He says, "Only what I see in your face."
Only what I see on your face. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's so beautiful.
And
that's
again,
that's a beautiful line.
It's a beautiful thing to say because it's bringing it back to the two of them and how he only trusts her.
Yes.
Every word is like written that way. And it's really nice. It's very nice.
Yeah. And that he can read her face. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've been able to do that for a long time.
Yeah, oh, definitely. So, yay for that hospital scene inclusion.
Yay. Well, this was fun.
I'm so glad you got Dead Alive on there. It was a blast.
Doing all these, I would be thrilled to put down, like, I think the only, we had two that were the same, and I think it was The Truth and then The Millennium Kiss. I think those are the only two that we both had on our list.
That's amazing because, you know, we agree on a lot of things, but we still have different takes on all of this.
Well, because like I said, too, like there's so many of these. So it's like,
there are some.
And especially if you were intentionally kind of trying to leave off some of the more obvious ones, or maybe they weren't even at the top of your list. I didn't have very many super obvious ones, but, you know, I thought the couple of them might have made your list, you know, like the baseball.
I know. I tend to leave off a lot of the more popular ones.
Yeah,
because
you like the angsty stuff too. I mean,
That's it. Yeah. If they're not angsty enough for me, I think I was thinking about, you know, what is it about that baseball scene that puts me off one day? And I think it's
too damn happy.
They're too damn happy. And I can't take it. I can't take the happiness. It's like, I don't even know these people.
I love the happiness, and I'll take it wherever I can get it.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, that seems more normal and more emotionally balanced than wanting everyone to be sad all the time, which apparently is what I'm going for.
We have
our different sort of types of shipperness going on.
That's good, though. I like it. It's a little bit of an interesting dynamic here. Well, let's wrap it up here. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Check out me on Twitter at X-Files Diaries and Jen.
Gen X File. That's JennXPhile. Gen X File. My username is Gen X. So please come and find me on Twitter.
Yeah. Thanks you guys for listening, and we'll be back with you next time on X-Files Diaries. And I didn't come up with an outro again.
Okay.
We just say the truth is in the hospital. Like that.
I like it. I like it.
Bye.